They seem happy. If they're happy, I'm happy. Okay. Now get out. Love you. Bye.
We haven't started, have we?
Yeah. Welcome to So Uncouth, a podcast filled with conversations you can't have in polite company. I'm Victoria Hannaford, a recovering journalist. I'm with Caroline Craig.
And alive.
And we're with our friend, the mysterious Bunsen burner. Insert preferred profession here.
Well,
seeing as I've been describing you in random terms.
I was looking forward to what you had to say this week. But listen, I don't want to say anything that may give away my identity because it could compromise quite a few. I can't even tell you what it could compromise, put it that way.
You could be a sushi chef. You could be a microbiologist. Oh, but
you pick.
I'm giving it away.
History wrapped in an enigma. With 2 weeks of legal training. We are three friends who live in three different cities, so you're joining our weekly catch-up and we're delighted you're here with us. So I thought I'd just kick things off with, you know, my usual embarrassing roundup of what I've been up to this week.
I'm here for it.
I'm excited.
Well.
And I think we'll be the judge of if it was embarrassing or not, Victoria.
All right, I'm throwing myself out there.
But I'm pretty sure it was.
Let's just face it, she was throwing herself out there so she could get a decent anecdote for us. That's what I like, and that's the intrepid journalist that Victoria Hannaford is.
Well, it's all material, isn't it, in the end?
It is.
I recently went to a female empowerment type seminar.
Oh.
Ooh.
Is this where the embarrassing incident occurred?
I just think even going to one of those things is embarrassing.
So how did you end up at it and what was it called? Well, can't you give that? What did you learn?
Nothing. Honestly, nothing.
Was it Pathways to Politics with Julia Gillard? I would have liked to have gone to that. She's wearing a gold jacket. I thought that looked fun.
Sadly, that probably would have been better. I don't know. I end up at these things and I always absolutely hate them, and not because I'm not on the program of female empowerment, but because what I always find is it just ends up being like a bunch of bullshit said to women about how they need to navigate the patriarchy, you know, so it's making like individual women responsible for what is a structural problem.
Did you find any allies who you could smirk cynically with in the back row?
Yes.
Or hold hands and sing with. I mean, you could be doing that too.
Yeah. Or hug each other?
No, I did find some allies. The person taking it is lovely, very engaging, but it clearly speaks for some women who have been deeply repressed in their environments.
What did you get to do? Did you get to do some good stuff, like just some, roundhouse punches and kicks?
No, that would have been great. That sort of empowerment, that's much better.
Did you have to do any games with, like, post-it notes or anything?
Yes. Oh my God. Post-it
Did they
notes.
Talk about jackets? I shouldn't have even mentioned Julia Gillard's jacket. There's too much mention about what women wear. That makes me angry.
And not enough mention of post-it notes, because that's where the real fun begins.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how these sorts of empowerment gurus would function without the invention of post-it notes. The whole thing is built on a foundation of post-it notes. Yeah, so we did do some post-it notes. We had to write some things.
What did you write on them?
Our career stories. Again, I'm not really sure what that meant.
That would have been entertaining. I used to work at a gentleman's club.
No, not that kind of club. No, in the sense that they didn't like women being members.
Were you wearing a, did you have a bunny tail on?
No, you've got it all wrong. This is more like the seat of power, like the Melbourne Club, more that kind of vibe.
Oh, that's really that's my home. Now I understand.
Yeah, you get
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I mean, that's three post-it notes already.
Stuck on top of each other.
Yeah. No, so we had a confessional. Now, we're not allowed to talk about what the other person said and, you know, frankly, I can't actually remember. So we had a little exchange.
Why does that not surprise me?
As far as we know, we center ourselves in these stories, Bunsen. If we're not talking about ourselves, what are we doing in this life? So we had to talk about a time when we comments in on it, when we felt the fear and did it anyway. And, of course, somebody
I like that.
So the person said to me, which obviously I'm not allowed to reveal because of confidentiality reasons, you know, we are all agreed to that, something normal. And I confess to having lied.
What's something normal?
just like, you know, some sort of reasonable job dilemma. Whereas I confess to having lied to get one of my first professional media jobs in radio, where I said, oh, yeah, I can definitely operate a desk. This is when I was briefly employed at Triple J doing overnight shifts. And, yeah, so I just, you know, talked myself up. I felt that I could probably twiddle a few knobs. But
how hard is it? Just press go.
Well,
honestly,
when you are a knob, it's pretty, I mean.
Just twiddling yourself, mate.
Twiddle the green one is all I'm saying, not the red one.
Anyway, I actually think there's a long tradition of people talking themselves up into that particular skill set. I think I heard other more seasoned professionals like doing some sort of like 20-year anniversary packages saying the same thing, and I was like, oh, thank God it wasn't just me. Anyway, what I want to know is, have either of you ever embellished the truth in order to get a job? And Caroline, I feel this may be particularly relevant to you and, say, the acting profession. Have you ever laid claim to being able to speak a language, ride an animal, or do an accent that you perhaps then had to come good on?
I did recently do a horror film where I had to do the entire role in Finnish. And I thought it was a joke when they said, we really like your screen test. We'd like you to do it again, this time in Finnish. And I just said, oh, yeah. Or actually, I can't even remember what yes is in Finnish. I know kiitos is thank you, all right? Because that's what I said to the woman who did speak Finnish when she told me how to say it. But I loved it so much. I got so into it because it just gave me all this freedom. I had very little knowledge about what I was saying. And so I just went full barking evil. It was great. I was chopping up people to feed to my son. It was fabulous. And
I have seen that film in the cinema. I have. It's true. Oh, it is called
Bloody Hell.
Right. Bloody Hell. Yeah. And I took a friend with me who is super into horror, because horror would not normally be one of my genres. But for you, Caroline, I went. And you know what? I loved it. I thought it
did
was.
Did you?
Yeah. I absolutely loved it.
It was comedy horror, right? Like, it was sort of pastiche.
It was great. And I would never have known that you were not a native Finnish speaker, but that could also be because I'm not a native Finnish speaker.
Apparently I might have sounded a bit Estonian, okay? I'll be honest.
I would be very interested to see what a Finnish person thought.
Well, we then like, I don't know, a year or so later, we had a babysitter who was Finnish. Mm. And at the end of the gig, not at the beginning, because Cal's like, oh, she was in a film. I'm like, don't mention
that. Don't leave me that.
No one wants to babysit.
They're cannibals.
Once they see
Sorry.
Her.
Spoiler alert.
And she watched it at the end, and I was like, I was terrified. I couldn't even look over it. I was like, is this even making any sense to you? And she just sort of gave me a bit of a nod. But, you know, the other fabulous thing about Finnish people is they don't smile. It's just not culturally appropriate. Apparently if you smile in Finland, they say you're being American. So she didn't really smile, but she sort of nodded, to which I just melted with pride.
I think maybe that might be something that you have perhaps learnt or told yourself to understand her perhaps, yeah, her perhaps muted response.
Her grimace is his affirmation.
She could just be grimacing because she's grimacing. It may have nothing to do with it. But I just want to say, I thought it was fantastic. I loved that performance. I was like, anyway, I was proud to be your friend.
Born to be a serial killer. Maybe that's just it. Feel the fear and do it anyway. But many, many times, Victoria, in answer to your question, because on Showcast you have to say, I can ride a horse, I can juggle,
yes,
I can speak Japanese, I can stand on my hands. The worst thing I've recently said is that I have a full license and I have no demerit points for a car ride. That's what it's come to. And I was like, feel the fear and do it anyway. I do remember being on set and not putting the handbrake on during a take and nearly killing the DOP, but let's not just let that one out. That one's in the purple circle, okay?
Bunsen, have you ever been caught in a little embellishment?
Well, let's just say that there was one incident where I was let go. I was fired. And
what sort of job was it? Like, can you, how much can you tell us?
I'll tell you what the job was. I was fired, and the reason was because someone asked me to make them a coffee because I was a barista. So I lied about basically my coffee making abilities. It was in Melbourne, and of course there are, you know, anyway, someone
exacting never standards. Did that in Melbourne. That's yeah. just like,
can you make a magic? What exactly. is a magic?
God, don't talk to me about the magic. Oh. God. Anyway, sorry, excuse comment. Excuse me.
Was that your stomach? No, it was comment. Okay, it's good to know.
Sorry. Someone asked me for a macchiato, and I, in my infinite wisdom, decided to throw the question back on them. What is a macchiato? Because I didn't actually know. Yeah. At which point,
but with confidence, right? You did it with confidence.
Yeah,
that's
as a philosophical question.
It could have been a rhetorical. I mean, what is a macchiato anyway, guys?
What is this life?
Unfortunately, it was not interpreted in that way, and that was my final shift. My only shift and my final shift. So that's one example of when you lie to perhaps gain employment and it backfires. But I mean,
I'm surprised they let you finish the shift, mate. I would have marched you out immediately. It's the macchiato test. Was this the student union?
No. This was a different establishment.
Was it the same establishment where I threw out the cutlery? Because I didn't want to polish it.
Yeah, I do. This is
my shift ended that day too, strangely.
That's an innovative solution.
And I said, is it because of the cutlery? And they said, no, it's because we just haven't seen you.
So you gave yourself away.
And I wasn't turning up. I know. And then I had to pay for the cutlery on top of it. I mean, fair enough, you know. How people try to run a business. They were giving all of our tips to the Church of Scientology. That's uncouth. Mm. Anyway, live to tell a tale.
What about your souvenir selling days, Bunsen? Mm. Did you embellish the truth to get that job by telling them that you could – dress professionally, perhaps?
I did not embellish the truth to get that job, but I was asked to lie as part of the job.
Oh!
In what way?
What can you reveal?
We would get bales of sheepskins, right? Like little sheepskin rugs that all came in the same bale. And we would be asked to sort them into small and large, but they were all actually exactly the same size. They'd all been purchased for the same price. And then the larger one, or the larger in inverted commas one, was sold for more money than the allegedly smaller one. And so
that's a grift.
Sales has never really been my forte. And so I was very half-heartedly just kind of, people would go, what's the difference between these? And I'd just like point to the sign that would go, see, those ones are bigger and those ones are smaller. And then 9 times out of 10, someone would just go, but they're exactly the same size. And then I'd go, yeah, that's just how they come. Like, so, yeah. There was another incident that happened in that job where I would sometimes just get incredibly bored, right? Just so mind-numbingly bored.
Was that because it was a while between customers, or were you just bored entirely, regardless?
Kind of both. Even thinking about it now, something physiological is happening. Anyway.
I want to go back there. I want to see if it's still there.
It's not there. It's turned into a cookbook shop.
Oh, so it was a house of lies. It should have been shut down.
Anyway.
And kangaroo scrotum purses.
Oh, with no seams.
I am so violated by that on so many levels. It's wrong. Not right.
This is, if you want uncouth, this is uncouth. Uncle.
Oh, so, I'm excited.
I'm bracing myself. I'm excited.
Okay, so I worked on the Sunday with the boss and his dad, and I'd have to listen to his dad telling me, you know, anyway, that's a whole other story. But I would be so bored. I would sometimes go into the corner where the Akubras were just to have a little nose pick. just as something to do. And thought no one could ever see me, you know, that's it. And then I left that job to go to the one where I was fired, right, with the because of the macchiato.
Well, that's a single shift. Mm. That's, I don't even know if that counts as a firing.
It was just a trial.
My brother also worked at this souvenir shop. The owner of the shop said something like, "How's Bunsen going?" And my brother said, "Oh, she just got fired." And the owner said, "What for? Picking her nose on the job?"
And
and you know what? I'd always seen this kind of like dome-shaped sort of mirror that was like up there. I didn't know that it was supposed to be set to like see if there were shoplifters. So you could stand in one half of the shop and then see the whole other half of the shop. I worked there for years, never figured that out. But I had been like going up there, going a couple of times a morning sometimes just to have a bit of a nose pick because there was just nothing else to do. And I couldn't be bothered making conversation. And I'd been witness the whole time and these people.
You thought you were in complete privacy. And they've been reviewing that footage, Bunsen, probably zooming in on it.
Well, there's no footage. It was just like a reflective mirror where they could actually just – it's like a dome mirror, you know, like, you know, those ones where so you can see if there are shoplifters. Like they have them if there are sharp corners in a car park, you know,
you
those ones?
You were picking in plain sight, mate.
I was basically –
if there are any pickers, corner pickers.
Also right next to the door of the shop as well, this little corner. So looking back, what must have been happening was that the owner of the shop and his dad would have been standing there talking, pointing up at the mirror, look at me, picking my nose on the job.
So the question to you is, where did you wipe it? Did you wipe it on those sheepskins? Did you put it in a kangaroo's coat and purse as a little
gift? No, I'm pretty sure there was some, like, Ken Doan serviettes that I might have been able to sort of...
improve.
Sequester.
Mate, I'm surprised you didn't get done for murder. Your biological material was everywhere. It was travelling around the globe.
I'm not saying the Ken Doan serviettes were then sold. I'm just saying they were like the equivalent of a tissue.
All right. Bunsen,
mm.
Have you been involved in anything that you need to share with us this week? Are there any explosive moments of rage?
Listen, I have felt a little bit uncomfortable.
How are the cafes faring? Yeah. Are they still standing?
Well,
are they still in business?
Well, they are, and it feels very strange because I still frequent them knowing that I have spoken about them. Anyway.
Under the cover of anonymity, though, you're fine.
I know
I'm
fine.
How many cafes are there in Sydney? Loads.
Anyway, I have... Now, Victoria, I know that you have often suffered from insomnia.
Yeah.
But I have always been a pretty good sleeper. Like, that's something that I've been able to, you know, it's one of my talents, put it like that.
I've been smug about it.
Well, I'm not smug anymore because I was awake the other night. Now, you both know this, but others don't. No one currently shares my bed except for a small dog called Comet, which some people may find couth or uncouth. But I discovered something about my bedfellow at approximately 2 a.m. in the morning. Mm. Because I am such a sound sleeper, I'd never heard this before. So I'm going to play something to you because I recorded it because I wanted to share it.
Has Comet consented to this?
Well, he does react strangely. I've played it quite a few times because I find it quite addictive because I've tried to put a narrative into what's going on. Yeah. But I've played it quite a few times and he does sometimes interrupt. Like he hears himself and he's got something to say.
He recognizes it.
So I'm just gonna play a sample of what may be going on the entire night, but I had no idea. Oh, no, that's recording something. Whoops. Okay. Okay, here we go. Oh, can't hear it. This is going very well. Okay, now I'm going to go from the beginning. Okay, take 16. Okay, ready? Here it comes.
That sounds like Comet taking off on a biplane.
Anyway.
That reminds me of my grandma. She used to fall asleep like anywhere in the middle of a movie, she'd get, she'd nod off. And then there'd be a snort so loud she'd wake herself up.
Like, did her head tip right back? And she did one of those ones where she'd go like that and then come next nap awake.
Yes.
My dad used to do that in every single show I was in. Every single show. I'd be back at the interval and some guy would be like, who is that old guy in the front row? I was like, it's my dad. And then as soon as the lights were down, he'd be like, like the reach ad, you know, you might remember the reach ad.
Oh, yep.
And then at the end of the thing, I'd come out and be like, ah, oh, thanks for coming. He'd be like, what did you think, Dad? Well, he was like, well, and then he'd give me a whole lot of notes. And I'd be like, you know, for every single scene that I was in, I was like, bullshit, you're asleep. Anyway.
So you're aware of it on stage, you'd hear the snoring.
Oh, it was so mortifying. People would be like, that guy is so rude. How dare he fall asleep in the front row? And I'm like, I know, people are sick. It's my dad.
So anyway, I'm glad that I shared that with you. That's
gorgeous.
My little.
I love that.
I've spent a lot of. I've become kind of addicted to this recording. In case you couldn't tell, I was like, oh, here comes a good bit. Anyway, I've been trying to do some dream interpretation.
Yeah, I was going to say psychoanalyze that. What do you reckon's happening?
I mean, he is a small dog. His brain may be slightly larger than two peas put together. I don't know. I think it's really got to be about Pat's food. Or going for a walk.
I think he's defending the family in that light. Don't you reckon there's something going on there, Big? What do you reckon?
I think he's thinking about how to get revenge on local cafe owners for not promoting him to his rightful place.
There's my
on the
photo.
Wall of canine customer fame. Bugger that. He's plotting revenge. I was thinking, look, we've been on a journey together. We're not all about poos
no,
and wees,
we've
are
got
we?
A lot going on.
Some of us are doing the work, Bunsen. some of us like to lift books from unusual places or our friends' houses. And some of us have been members of book club. Mm. Yeah. So I found something that could be assistance to us all.
Victoria's holding up a book. And what does it say, Cara?
Your roadmap to lifelong happiness. Guide to the Life You Want.
Oh.
By Ken Keyes Jr.
Ken Keith. He's got two first names.
No, Ken Keyes.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay, then that's fine. I'm prepared to listen.
And I found this on a park bench. So I want you guys to see if you can make sense of any of this. So I'll just proceed with the light reading and maybe we'll discuss afterwards. If your inner adult does not skillfully parent your inner child, you may have a temper tantruming three-year-old ruining your adult life.
What about if you...
The inner parent...
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, just yeah, wait. You wait, Bunsen. The inner parent is like the captain of the ship. The captain makes decisions and takes responsibility. But unless the captain is fully supported by the crew, in brackets inner child, the engines may not work. The radar operator may be doing a crossword puzzle or the navigator may fall asleep. Many excellent workshops are now available on healing your inner child. I recommend them.
I got an inner thing to say.
Inner.
I got an inner ear. Yeah, right, mate. Listening to that.
My inner child and my inner adult are both united in telling you to close that book and leave it on a car park bench.
I think there's no chance that I'll be on a roadmap to lifelong happiness if I keep reading that book. I do remember, I think I came perilously close to joining a cult when I was probably a few times really. Have you guys ever kind of flirted with cult-like organisations?
I thought about joining Landmark because Landmark was around the corner from the theatre that I was working in.
So convenient.
It's just around the corner, right? And I had some other people I'd worked on TV with would call me up in the dead of night and go, Caroline, what's stopping you? And I'd be like, I don't know, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I just don't, like, no, the workshops run 24 hours a day. And I did sort of think, oh, maybe, you know, it's really working for them. It's only $600, you know, when you first join. But I remember being out on a cigarette break in the days when everyone used to smoke and this woman came around you know, at the back of the theatre and said, oh, can I have a cigarette from this lovely sound designer I was working with? And he went, yeah, sure. Gave her a cigarette and she smashed, ripped it up in his face and threw it on the ground. And she said, that's my landmark challenge of the day. He just went, well, fuck off then. He didn't want to just say so. But no, I've got a few friends who joined and actually gamed the system. So who went all the way through to test what would happen if you resisted and if you tried to put a spanner in the works of the landmark system. It sounds like a total waste of time. But they are people who, yeah, who like to break the rules.
Not like you, Caroline.
Nah, look, I was all I could do to get to rehearsals. I could never get there early enough. And apparently you weren't allowed to, one of the main thing is, my dad told me, psychologist, said it used to be called no piss therapy because you were only allowed to go to the toilet when they said. This could all be totally
I was about to say, does anybody other than your father use the term no piss therapy? I think we should research that.
Oh, no, that's definitely like a tactic.
Yeah, so they're sort of brainwashing you because you can't even go to the toilet until they let you go.
Well, listen, I was in a work situation once where my colleagues and I were working with someone who, you know, had been in the Church of Scientology for quite some time. And at one point she sort of took me aside and said something to me. She didn't say it to any of my other colleagues, which was, you know, if you ever want to talk about any of your problems or anything, you know, my door is always open. And I afterwards said to my colleagues, you know, isn't it interesting? She didn't say that to any of you. I must seem really open, you know, and non-judgmental. And they went, no, you just must seem really vulnerable because that's who they go for. I was like, oh, man.
Were you targeted?
I was targeted, but, you know, I was too stupid to actually notice. So there you go.
I think I was probably at a fairly low point when I almost joined my cult, which was when I was in London. I think I was
really? A lot of things happened there. I mean, there was a gentleman's club. There was a book club that went really bad. She'd had to flee Australia because she'd lied about being able to operate a desk. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been happening. Anyway,
I was on the lam. No, and also, well, so I was working in hospitality. I think you know, I have been married. That marriage was on the bones of its ass. I think it was over by that point.
Did you know that?
I may have been. Oh, yeah. It was a complicated time, guys. I can't get into the specifics. But I was working in hospo and there was some guy who was trying to – he was also in hospo and he was trying to sort of elevate his circumstances by running workshops. Anyway, we just had to do a lot of repetition of mantras.
So you
of things
went
like,
to his workshops?
I did these workshops.
Was he hot? They've got to be hot.
He was gay.
Have got to be hot.
But he was hot. Yeah.
It's cool.
What was the mantra that you had to do?
I think you just had to, like, say things all the time and then they'd be true. So, like, I have boundless energy because I was really tired because I was working.
And you're iron deficient.
And had another job and was maybe doing, like, an internship at the BBC at the same time. So I was like, I have boundless energy to have three jobs at
and
once.
I'm finding time to also go to your fabulous workshop at the same time.
He was sweet. I mean, I did feel like I was just kind of doing it to support him and augment his numbers, but I did feel that I could have just been pulled into it. Thankfully, I had to quit that job and probably those workshops because of the demand of, like, the other two jobs. But I think one thing I said was, like, I will double my income. And I did. So maybe, like, there's something in that. Who knows? Just focusing on a goal.
Maybe. I mean, I don't want to burst your bubble, Victoria, but you were it does Go. Sound like you were – it wouldn't have been very hard to double your income at that point.
Yeah, you're working for £2.50 an hour and you got up to five.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we have probably hit the point of so uncouthing for almost long enough, but I did want to just briefly touch on a so uncouth of the week, which is the Bruce Lerman versus 10.
Do you need some legal advice?
the defamation trial. Thank you.
Because my 2 weeks of legal training says right now, I'll just say, tread carefully. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Well, I watched some of the trial, so I can just
quote.
Yes. Oh my God, open justice means you can watch it on YouTube, which is amazing. Really? But there has been some allegations that even the judge called sordid. Like, it has been unbelievable. But and
is this just reopened recently, or are you watching the trial from back?
It's only a live link, so you can't record it. Or
so basically, when you are supposed to be working for the man, you are instead watching sordid court cases.
Well, no, I take the YouTube with me on a lovely lunchtime constitutional.
And it's just a bit of mindfulness, a bit of just getting out into nature, is it?
The only thing I liked about it was the way the lawyers talk to each other, which I think we could adopt.
Mm. What's that?
They're super
smart. Call each other my learned friend.
Ah.
I like that. Thank you, as my learned friend said. They keep things very couth on that level. But let me tell you, everything else about that fucking trial has been the most uncouth shit I've ever heard. I know I shouldn't be saying anything.
She's going to say it anyway. She's saying it.
Conversations you can't have.
We're just going to have to beep her.
Bruce Lerman is a f***. And I hope he it's a f***ing but I hope he $0. F*** you. And on that note,
bye.
Pop this later.
See you in court.